Welcome to the From the Field broadcast. It is my hope and prayer that God will use this message to touch your heart. Thank you for listening. May God bless. Colossians chapter 3. I want to begin reading here in verse number 1 and number 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Paul here in the third chapter of Colossians is in a connecting phase. It's this third chapter connects the latter part of the epistle to the first part of the epistle, the letter that Paul writes to these believers, ones in which he's never himself per se met face to face. And so there has been issues in the church, other philosophical teachings, other things of the world that has come in and crept into this body of believers, and this entire region has been overwhelmed by these teachings of the day here in Colossae. And according to chapter 2, it has spread some 12 miles to the north in a place called Laodicea, where Paul says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." His desire, his conflict that he's having is for these believers, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. He warns them and pleads that they not be beguiled or tricked by enticing words. There is a heart cry from a Roman prison cell as this man of God, the apostle, is hearing for the first time about how a church has been established in Colossae, most undoubtedly from Paul's season in Ephesus, preaching the gospel there. It went out to all regions, those that heard the gospel in Ephesus, how they had carried it, this young man being a disciple of Paul. There in verse number 7, chapter 1, Epaphras had carried it back to his home, to his home place, and begin to repeat the teaching of the Apostle Paul and declare the same gospel that Paul declared, and which was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this church is established. They're going forward with the gospel. They're excited about Jesus. They're thrilled that they've been redeemed, that they have been washed away, that through the blood of the cross their sins have been blotted out. And so they have enjoyed to worship God in spirit and truth, coming to the house of God and worshiping Him. And there was something in the atmosphere of this day that was the ebb and tug that began to pull and began to infiltrate into this body of believers here in Colossae and as well there in Laodicea. These teachings, this outward flow of what the world in this day was pumping and producing and putting forth, Colossae was a very central hub of the day for commercial business. It was at a place where three rivers come together. It was on the trade route from Ephesus down the Euphrates to the sea, where they could trade and have commerce. And Colossae was an area of great pastures and green grass where their flocks grazed. that were known specifically as a mark, as a trademark for their wool that was dyed a deep crimson red. And so when others in the Roman Empire saw someone clothed in this coat, they knew exactly that was a mark of Colossians. They began to have this fame about them. And this ideology began to infiltrate in the house of God. And all of a sudden, their focus, their desires from being heavenward and toward Christ begin to diminish to a more earthbound focus and vision. Now, I want to remind you here this morning, just like these folks in Colossae, you're sitting here with a greater purpose that God has for your life. You have been born into this world and then reborn by the Spirit of God to fulfill a purpose that God has for you. A great purpose to participate along with God in His great plan. God's been actively calling forth His bride from generation to generation. I'm amazed, according to the book of Daniel chapter 4, that it's God who raises up kingdoms. It's God who puts down kingdoms. And so we see from God's perspective that it's God who gives a country power. It's God who abases this one and raises up that one. It's God who establishes thrones and kingdoms and dominions and principalities and powers. It's God that's in control of this thing. When we understand that focus, we know that God is actively doing His thing and raising up and abasing others, and yet with the same purpose and mindset of calling forth a bride, calling His bride to Himself from one generation to the next generation. His focus has been on a lifting up as He has placed Jesus Christ far above all principality, power, dominion, and might. He, even the head of the church, He's put Him way up yonder. And He has put His focus on Christ, bringing forth a bride to see the blood, the blood-bought cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving us access to the Father and a place in the heavenlies, position with Christ. It's an amazing thing to ponder. Now, this morning as we sit here on this side of this western hemisphere, on the eastern hemisphere, God is still actively moving. He's still actively calling forth His bride in places like North Korea and China, in places like Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran, where they have to hide themselves and maybe get a little cubby somewhere to worship God. We've walked in this morning in absolute, complete freedom and liberty. Nobody's throwing rocks at us. Nobody's lining up to hunt us down or to send a bomb somewhere in the church. But I'm grateful tonight, by the grace of God, the freedom we have to be able to worship God in spirit and truth. But I want to say God is still actively, more so, my friend, participating in this thing of calling forth sinners out of darkness into His marvelous light, transforming them from darkness into light, putting off the old man and putting on the new, that there be new creatures in Christ Jesus. And just there in the Amazon this morning, and as young Clevison took the pulpit there in Boa Vista and prayed and sought God throughout the night, as he often does. And what story should I tell? Imagine that. Don't have a text, don't have Scripture complete, but what he does has, he's concerned about what God wants to give to His people. Not what he wants to give, not something that makes him look good, but him, that little stubbed up leg, come limping up the little pulpit there this morning and open up the little stories and declare the good news that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. One more time. I'm grateful that God is actively calling for this bride out of darkness in the light. And so here in Colossae, God was actively moving. God was stirring sinners for being saved. And in the midst of all that, in the midst there had infiltrated and crept in teachings and philosophical moves, that their minds were affected, that their thoughts were affected, and was no longer focused upon heavenly things.
have a preacher friend of mine. His name is Elias, and he lives in a little place called Anushi. It's off the river Galvez on the Peruvian side, way up on one of the tributaries of the Javari, which eventually dumps to the Amazon. And this man is in his upper 30s. It's fixing to be 40s. He's translating the Bible from Spanish to Matzez. They meet 3 months working, then they go back to the village. 3 months working, then back to the village. And sure, there are things going on in the village. There's new things happening all the time in the village. New constructions, new this, new that. So-and-so's building a new canoe. It's the latest type. But his focus is on what God's doing. I remember him telling me a story as I pondered about and sat back in awe of how their focus stays so fixed upon God and upon heaven. That's our home this morning. I remember he said he was in his hut and it was late one night. It was dark one night, and he said his brother was lighting a lantern. It was diesel fueled lantern, and as he was lighting that, his little daughter was three and a half, four years old, was just kind of running around like 3 and a half, 4 year old do. And she ran over there to see what was going on. And as he was lighting that candle, it exploded. And the diesel fuel had got onto her and her body, and she was burning. He didn't know what to do, so they thought logically the best thing is to throw water. And when they put water on the little girl, the flames increased. And the little girl's burning, her body fully covered in flames. And as he sat there and told the story, I tried to search some way to find comfort to bring to him. I'm not married and I don't have a family, but I could imagine seeing my own girl burn up in flames. I had no control to put him out. 3 days later, she passed away in the hospital. And I said, Elias, I said, one day we'll see her again. And there was an immediate connection with this brother. And the connection was based around a place where our affections were set. Was based around another land where Christ sits on the throne. And my mind goes to the Sunday school teacher there in Boa Vista where the kids are just outflowing and there's no space for them. And I remember she just had a baby one season, and I was asking, I was a few years later, I said, well, how's your boy doing? I mean, he's probably up running around and getting into things. And she put her head down and she said, preacher, she said, Nikanu, it's his name, Nikanu. He said he was bit by a snake and he didn't make it. He died. And I said, Maria, I'm sorry to hear about that. I said, but one day we'll get to see him again. That's the hope of the gospel. The hope, part of that hope is that we're going to be united with Christ.
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that He should give His only Son to make a rich His treasure.
As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Thank you for tuning into our broadcast today. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you. Please send all correspondence to Brother Andrew at P.O. Box 43, Hayesville, North Carolina, 28904. Thank you for making our ministry a matter of continued prayer.
Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His words have Son.